Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. You know, it's like summertime. I don't know what to say. I mean, can this really be Christmas week?
I know,
65, 70 degrees. 2 weeks ago, it was 28 degrees every morning. I mean, now it's 50 degrees when we get up. What's going on?
It seems like, you know, your weather changes. You have a different season by the day now. And you would think by now, you know, a few days, before Christmas, it would be pretty much settled into, okay, we're into the Christmas winter pattern and just kind of like stay there for a while. But it's not. It's crazy weird.
It is crazy. What worries me is next week, as you know, right in the middle of Christmas, is the temperature going to drop and is it going to get real cold? Or are people going to be out, you know, doing summer activities, riding bicycles at Christmas? I've never seen it this warm at Christmas.
I know it. It's almost a little bit creepy, especially when you have a bit of a breeze, like a warm breeze that's blowing. It's like, this is way too balmy to be this time of year.
Well, and the little one, you know, the fourth grader, is wearing shorts to school.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, no, you shouldn't be wearing shorts. No, he says, I want to play soccer at recess. And I'm checking the temperature, he said, every day. So the little one thinks it's summer, and he's wearing shorts.
I bet that's never happened before.
Never. I mean, he's always wore long pants in the winter. I don't know what to think.
I mean, you know. Whoo, it's going to be a Bermuda shorts and flip-flops kind of Christmas.
I'm afraid it is for children, you know. And they're asking for all kinds of silly things, you know.
Yeah.
They're asking for trampolines,
oh,
dirt bikes. I mean, what else? Nintendo 5. I mean, it goes from one thing to the other.
Well, geez, if they end up getting like dirt bikes and trampolines, then they'll instead of, because normally they might get those things for Christmas and then you got to wait until it gets a little bit warmer and nicer to go outside and use them. Now they may be getting set up on Christmas afternoon.
Well, you never can tell. And, you know, I told them they don't need a dirt bike. The dirt bikes are for older children, you know?
Yes, of course.
That have lots of hills and dirt. And, you know, they go down by the rivers and do that.
Yeah.
You know, and little children should not be on dirt bike, in my opinion.
Well, it could be a safety issue.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think I've got enough insurance to cover little boys, you know, falling off a dirt bike, you know, going over a hill and breaking their, you know, their leg or their arm or something else, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
You'd have to take out extra insurance. You're right. You don't have enough. There's not enough.
I don't have enough insurance. No, there's not enough for little boys, you know, going over a hill. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. But, you know, when they start getting older, you know, they're going for, like, simple presents and things that they ask for when they're younger. But then when they start getting a little older and they want to get outside and start moving and doing things and being active, that means, like, big boy toys, which means big boy injuries. So
that's exactly right.
You're there.
You know, if they'll just dip to their zip line, their basketball, you know, or their soccer. You know, I think all those are pretty safe things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, generally.
And I love the zip line, you know. It took us a long time to get it built, but, you know, I think it's great and I love it. But they say on one end it's hard to get off, you know, that
really?
It's a little too high. Yeah, and so they're not riding as much as they should. But I love their zip line.
Yeah. And I remember it took a long time to get somebody who could get the poles in the ground.
That's right, and to get it right.
Yeah.
Remember the first guy put the stairs in backwards. It was one of those good old boy deals, you know, and he came, was going to do all this, and put the stairs in backwards. So then we had to hire someone to put the stairs in right. And to make it where they could actually ride the thing. Wow.
And now they don't even ride it much because it's too high.
Now it's too high. And now we need to get it lowered where they can get off on that other end. They say it's just too high to get off. But they can ride it down there, but they need somebody to help them get it off.
Or you could get one of those big, giant, like, poofy, like, I don't know what that, like the thing that stunt people use where they jump off buildings and land on the big, huge, gigantic air mattress-like thing, and get one of those and have them jump off.
I just see telling those children, and you're going to jump here on this air mattress. Everything will be all right. Just go ahead and jump from 4 foot to 5 foot up, you know.
That's what they
told Zach said. It's all right. You're not going to get hurt.
No. Don't do Zach said.
Said you won't get hurt. He's tried it before.
Oh, my. See, now I'm involved, and now it doesn't seem like a good idea anymore.
I know. You know, when you ask an adult to do something, then they go, no, maybe it's not such a good idea.
Yeah, let me rethink
you
that.
But it's a good idea for kids, but no, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah, good for somebody else to jump, but maybe not for me. No, don't
That's
involve
right.
me. Well, they used to do that to us when we were kids. You know, we would go out and, you know, we'd fall off our bike and scrape up our knees and our elbows, and they'd say, yeah, I guess you're not going to do that again. And that was it.
That's right. Yeah, so... I mean, they figure, you know, and the little one built a ramp for his bike the other day, and he was so proud of it. We showed him how to use nails and wood and all this, and showed him how to nail it in. He thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and he built a little ramp.
How neat.
I thought it was really neat. So he's got him a ramp where he can run his bike up the ramp and down.
Wow. And I bet he loves the fact that he built it himself, because now it's like, look what I did, and then he can use it.
That's right. And he thought it was great. No one had ever showed him how to use a hammer and nails.
I have a feeling you just open up a whole new world to him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling what he can build out or what he can hammer with a nail, you know.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if contraptions are all of a sudden added to the outside of the house.
That's right. That's just what I need.
Yeah.
You know, people from the road can see that. Remember that.
Oh, yeah, they can. The neighbors will talk.
That's right. They'll say, wow, look what they've done over there.
They're doing.
I mean, the llamas give them enough, you know, excitement. So now we'll have the kids doing things, too.
Yeah. You know what they say, give a boy a hammer and nails and he can build the world.
That's right. I'm going to tell him you said that. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, boy.
Get him his own little toolkit.
All this Zach says is kind of getting me into a little bit of trouble here. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with all this.
Well, you shouldn't have told me about it.
I shouldn't.
You know, somebody tells me about something, I go, oh, yeah, this is who said it. You know? I always want to be sure it wasn't me that told the story.
Yeah.
That told them how to do this.
Give credit where credit's due. Thanks.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I want to help you along here.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It's kind of fascinating to me how you'll plant the seed, and then I'll say something stupid, and then all of a sudden, I'm on the hot seat.
Well, you know, I want to help you along all I can.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Helping people as though it's what you do. Most of it is financial. Most of it is, you know, money related, and that's what it's really all about. And, you know, people are looking all over the place for... conservative investments. We say something where they don't have the possibility of losing everything that they have as they get closer to retirement. You look at what's going on now, and I keep seeing all these reports and all these, I guess, polls and whatever they do that say that people are starting to, I guess, have less and less confidence that things like the stock market are good places to invest. The wave's been riding high for a while, but we've seen a couple of days where it's starting to, you know, you wake up in the morning and then all of a sudden something drops. And so people are looking for alternatives, and that's exactly what you do, whether it's life settlements or annuities. So,
well, and annuities, you know, have been around a long time, over 100 years, and annuities have evolved. They've become better and better. The old annuities were just a flat rate, like you could get 3%. of 4%. That was it. And that was the best you could do. They were safe, but it didn't pay a lot. And now annuities have come into their own. I think they're the best account that you can have once you retire or before retirement, because they've averaged about 10%. They've got the bonuses they never used to have. They've got that 14%, not the 16, but the 14. And if you the first year, you get 14% added right there. And then the second and third year, if you put money in, they'll give you that 14% again. So you've got 3 years with a bonus. You can't beat that. And then you've got the guarantee from a major, major life insurance company on your money. So that's really important.
You know, I think you just solved the mystery, because I've been saying for a long time about how it seems like annuities have kind of gone under the radar, and, you know, they were not really all that exciting, and people weren't really, you know, sure. And I think that's exactly what it is. I think that's what I've been searching for this whole time. And you just kind of put the pieces together for me. It's just they sat there with like 3 or 4% for a long time. And I know for a while you've been saying that in annuities, you know, they're generating, you know, 10% now. And then we've got these bonuses, and then all these things have just kind of like rejuvenated. It's just like a big juice of it's a big burst of energy and excitement around annuities, because, yes, they've always been a good, safe, conservative investment. But the profit just seems like it's almost doubled, if not tripled in some cases, going from 3 or 4% to averaging around 10%. Yeah, that's a really big deal, especially if you're doing nothing.
Well, and it's year after year. I mean, you've got a 10-year annuity, so it's going to be a long-term deal. It's going to take care of you all those years. I have a lot of people right now coming to me and saying, look, Faye, I'm retiring. I want to get out of the stock market. I'd like to have my account over at your place. So we're moving a lot of accounts right now. We're moving 401ks. We're moving IRAs. We're moving all kinds of accounts, joint accounts, IRAs for husband and wife. We've just done some of those. So when you get an annuity, you can relax and coast the rest of the way. Mm. You don't have to get up at midnight and check your account. They do not charge any. There's no taxes comes out until you take money out. Once you take money out, yes, you pay tax on it. But you don't pay tax on that $1 million you've got with us, or half a million, until you start taking it out. So it's growing tax deferred all that time. And your principal's safe. You know that. You know your interest is locked in every 12 months. That's the great thing about it. So it's not if you're getting interest. The interest is locked in every 12 months. Now, let's say it mirrors the stock market, which it does, but it's not directly in the stock market. So you don't have the stock market risk. And if the stock market goes down, this holds. It's got a lock. It will not go down on you. It will just sit there, and then it goes back up. And I love that.
Yeah.
And we've got so many people over the years that have annuities that the interest they've got gathered on has really been great. And then we've got a lot of people that they're going to retire, and then they're going to take that 10% a year out.
You know, that's the greatest thing. And you kind of touched on this also earlier, is that you don't have to do anything. You coast. And people just, they can count on the regular, not the regularity, the consistency. Is that the word you'd like to use?
Yes. Well, it's you know what's going to happen. You know how it's going to work. And you don't have the risk factor. And if you don't have the risk factor, you can relax and enjoy your retirement. We have millions and millions of dollars worth of annuities. And the companies we use are at least 100 years old. Some of them are not quite that old. But they've been around a long time. They're worth $60 billion.
Wow.
So, you know, they've taken care of business. They've taken care of clients. They've got an A-plus rating. Jeez. With all the rating agencies. And they check them every year. They're rated every year. And annuities, I don't know if people know it, but life insurance companies, it's just like a bank. They go in and check them every year, state and federal. So they're audited, you know. All the time. So everybody knows where they stand financially. They know how much money they've got. They have to keep enough money in reserve to pay all claims. It's not like banks. They loan your money out every night, you know. They're not doing that. So an annuity is the safest thing I know. It's the best thing I know. I've got no telling how many clients in the last 23 years that do have annuities. They've put annuities where that if the family needs it quick after they die, they can cash an annuity in, then go in and get cash out of it. I've got a lady doctor that's, her mother's been with me for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And she called me the other day and said, you know, we're having to have help for mom at home. We've got 24-hour care. We're going to need some money. I said, take it out of the annuities. You know, she's got three annuities sitting there. You know, she's got a 500, she's got a 300, I think a 250,000. I said, just start taking money out of them. It's her money. It's got a lot of profit in it, and it won't cost you a thing. Just start taking her annuities. And they didn't realize they could do that. They thought they had to wait till she died. They didn't know they can cash those in now.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they can cash them in. She's had them a long time. There's no penalty, no nothing. You can cash them in one at a time. You can take 50,000 or 100,000 out. Next year, you can take another 50, whatever you need. So it's taking care of her mother. And it was a godsend to them because her and her brother thought they were going to have to start paying for her care. But they're not. And they've got 24-hour care at home.
Oh,
don't have her in a, they don't have her in assisted living. They don't have her mother in a nursing home because she's a doctor.
Yeah. Boy, that home care, 24 hours, that's expensive. But, boy, it is the best.
It is the best. And then they have a mother and her daughter that work for them. One takes the daytime, one takes the night shift.
Wow.
And they're just making sure she's safe, that if she gets up, she needs anything, they're there for her.
How long would it take? You said this lady has she been doing annuities for like 20-something years? Or
yes, she's had them with me, I guess, 20 years.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget. I did a seminar down there in Georgetown where she lives years ago. And met her, and she said, you know, I like you. I think I'll put my retirement with you. And she'd been a librarian at the college. And she put her money with me, and we became friends. And I've taken care of her accounts all these years.
Wow. That's incredible. And it's nice to know, like, that's a real-world example of people using the annuity. It's been sitting in the background for years and years, just making money over and over, and just, you know.
Yeah, she didn't need it.
Yeah.
Didn't need it to live on. See, she had a pension from the college. She was living on that, but this was the money she had in her 401k. And so she wanted to invest it with me, and she did. And it's made good money all these years. They've still got money in it. She's never used it up. So now when they really need it, it's there for them.
Wow. That's incredible. I know we talk about the benefits of annuities all the time and how people, you know, can just, I guess, relax while they're doing their retirement or even getting ready for their retirement. But I don't think that we've ever really shared any kind of a real world example like that where it really kind of came in. It's a nice surprise. I mean, people get surprised with financial investment things all the time. You know, like they wake up and the stock market's bottomed out and it's like, oh, no, that's not a good surprise. But this is a great use of annuities. And, you know, it's a real world thing. You wonder how many other people, you know, go through similar situations. And it doesn't have to be medical, but it could be, you know, some other situation happened or, you know, who knows? Because we don't, and it's been a long time since we've talked about emergencies after retirement, but emergencies will happen. They come up and they can be expensive. And knowing that you've got, you know, something like the annuity that's there that you can draw from to cover those emergency expenses, that's just fantastic. That is really, really cool.
It is. And I've got people in Amarillo, long, long time customers, and they set up all their grandchildren with annuities for college. We did that years and years ago. And when they started going to college, all the grandchildren could draw on their annuities every month. And every one of them went to college. And so, you know, when we set those up, I think there was five or six grandchildren. And they put money in each annuity for the grandchildren. And they kept the policies, but they told them about them, told them that when they got, you know, graduated from high school, the annuities would kick in and they'd have enough for college. And they did.
Wow. That takes a big burden off people, too, because I've talked to people before, and I'm sure you have, too, where people will say, oh, gosh, we got to start saving for college. Well, saving for college, that includes, like, sacrifice, and that includes a lot of discipline, and that includes a lot of, you know, a lot of hard work, and the annuity just kind of grows itself. And we're talking about compound interest here, right? I mean, this is...
That's right. It's compound interest. So it makes a big difference. It's compound every day. There's so many good things about annuities that I love. You know, you can have a joint account with your husband. You can have an IRA individually. You can have the ones for children. And people with big estates, annuities are a great thing for them, because when you die, this annuity can be used right then while you're settling the estate. And, of course, if you've got a trust, you may not even have to go through probate, because usually a trust does not go through probate. But inside that trust, you can have annuities. You can have a lot of things in there for your family. And then we have people that do annuities that maybe they've got that one child that was not great, that was on drugs or something, and they don't want them to be in the estate. They don't want them to get anything. So they do annuities for the other children. And we've done that a lot of times. And so I know which child is not going to get anything. And we had someone pass away not long ago, and the grandchildren called me because they were the ones getting the inheritance. She had bypassed her daughter because her daughter and her were not getting along at all. And so they called me and said, how long is it going to take to get this money? I said, well, we have to turn the claim in and then you'll get paid. They said, oh, we sent the claim in. I said, well, you know, it shouldn't take but about 12 days. Well, we're trying to get it quicker than that. The grandkids are always, they're broke. They're trying to get the money. They want it quick. Yeah. They want it overnight. And I always think if the people knew how they were going to react when they're dead, they'd probably make changes before they died.
Yeah.
I mean, greed sets in. I've got several clients that did annuities this last year. And, you know, named the grandchildren, their husband and wife, daughter and husband, and they did pass away, and they couldn't wait to get to that cash. I mean, you know, I mean, they thought that they would take it in payments, that it would last them 20 or 30 years.
Oh, wow.
But it's not going to last them that long.
Not even
close. They're buying new cars, new houses. They've never had money. You know, they were ordinary people. The father and grandfather made a lot of money and had it all with me. And when they found out, oh, my gosh, they started going through it. And I'm betting that 14 to 19 months, the cash will be gone.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, what a shame. Jeez.
Yeah, and he worked all of his life, you know, to provide for them, to give them something. And he said, you know, this will take care of them the rest of their life. They'll take a payout fee. Everything will be fine. But it didn't work out that way. they said, how quick can we get the cash? How quick can we get it?
Wow.
You know?
And then they just go on a shopping spree on silly things. And then before, in less than 2 years, most of the time people are, it's all gone. There's no trace of it.
Can you imagine giving an 18-year-old this kind of money?
Oh, they couldn't handle it. Not even close.
No, no, at 18, most of us wouldn't know right from wrong. And then we'd come up in about 19 months and say, well, what happened? Where's the money at?
Yeah, where's the rest of it? It's like, no.
Yeah, can I get some more? Can I get some more?
It's not a money tree.
And they're broke by that time. You know, they don't have anything by that time. It's a crazy, crazy world we live in.
Now, this might be a crazy question, but is it possible to say if somebody knows that one of the kids is like that, but they still want them to have the benefits of it, is it possible to set it up that, you know, like they only get so much?
You can set up with payments, yes.
Okay.
You can set it up with payments and restrict it where there's not a cash payout, but you've got to have that in there in the annuity. You've got to tell them how you want that beneficiary to get the money.
Wow.
And if you don't say anything, they can just tear into it and get it and spend it on girls and wild cars. Yeah.
Girls and gin.
That's right. I mean, you know, Oh my gosh. You know, there's nothing the 18-year-old can't think of to spend money. And you know, they're just fresh out of high school. How do they have the sense to take care of the money if you don't put restrictions on it?
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I got a credit card. I mean, I'm not exactly, a crazy person that does a lot of, stupid things. But in that case, I did. And I went and I maxed that thing out. And I had way too high of a credit line to start with. I was like 19 years old. I went out and bought watches and neon artwork for the wall and blinky things and all kind of just silly things. And I think I paid on that for years and years and years.
And you probably didn't tell your family, did you?
No,
what
of course
done.
Not.
No, you kept it a secret.
No, the shame wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I mean, and I've heard lots of kids say that first credit card, they forgot they had to pay it back.
Exactly.
They forgot that they had to pay. They thought, man, the line of credit's here. I'm going for it.
Yes,
and
that's exactly
then
what
they woke up and said, oh my gosh, it's 30 days and the bill is due.
Yeah. Yeah. The bill was more than I made in a month.
it's crazy. It's
it
really
is.
Crazy.
Now, I know you don't pay an annuity back. I know that's not how that works, but as far as responsibility with money, it's nice to know that at least with an annuity, you can put safeguards in place to protect people, especially younger people, and sometimes some older people, from doing, silly things that would harm them for themselves. Because the whole point is to set people up and make sure that, they're taken care of well and responsibly. And sometimes that means, protecting them from their own self. So that's a...
That's right. And what I love about annuity is another thing for a husband and wife. Usually the husband is the leader on financial, and usually they come over and they make the decisions. Some of them come with the wife and make decisions. But let's say they really want to protect their wife. They put it in annuities. She's got lifetime income, and nobody can talk her out of her money unless she just lets them, because her money is set up. It's safe. She's got income. They know she can take money out to live on all the time. So it's a safe investment, especially if something happens to the husband, because lots of times the wife has not worked. Maybe she stayed home all the time. So she's not as sophisticated as the husband is. And then I have a lot of people that say, Faye, I've worked all my life in the oil field. I know nothing about my money. I know it's over here at the pump station, in the account, and I don't know how to transfer it out. I don't know how to do this. I had calls this week from people saying, Faye, it's 22 pages. What do I do? What do I do? I said, come into the office. Let me go over it with you. We'll do the transfer because they're retiring, and we've got to figure out how much the total will be, what the pension amount is, the whole thing. And they said, we're going to have to take money starting immediately. So then we have to do it a certain way, So lots of times there's things to work on, and the people are just kind of like the deer in the headlight. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. They've worked all their life, but they haven't been in the business part, so they don't know how to treat their retirement, and they need help. And that's where we come in. We'll set them up with an annuity that they can't outlive. We'll put it in indexes. We'll put it with a giant company, and they'll be safe the rest of their life. It's the safest way I know to get out of the stock market and get into a sound investment.
When you put it like that, it just seems very clear why, if memory serves me right, you've had several people that have called you in the last few weeks that have said, hey, I'm really interested in annuities that maybe hadn't thought about them before. It seems very clear why, something like an annuity is such a great option for people who want something a little bit more conservative, making sure that they don't lose their principal. You always say, make sure you protect the principal so that you don't wake up with nothing one day. And the annuity does, it checks all the boxes. So I see why you have so many people calling to get into them. Now, the other option that people have for conservative investments is the life settlement. It's a little bit different, but it kind of explained the difference between the two.
Well, a life settlement will pay more, but it's like 2 years at a time. You know, we do 24 months annuity, I mean, life settlements, 28, 30. And sometimes people have definite ideas of how they want to invest. You know, we've had five maturities this month, and we've talked about all those. We've still got Bloomberg and another one coming that hasn't got here. But the other $2 million is in everybody's account. But people change. Like, sometimes they'll do a longer term, and it's going to pay a lot. But lots of times they won't. And right now, it seems like people want 20 or 28 months. They don't want anything longer than that, and that's fine. So if it's 28 months, it comes in early, it's really a great thing. Because, you know, those two policies we had, you know, were 20 months, and they passed away in 6 months, both of them. And we love that for the investor state, because they made money quicker. And, you know, they all had great returns on that. Some of them, the return was 31%. I don't remember what all of them were, but I know, I think the average was 30%. So they made good money. There was one that was an older policy, but they got their money on it also. And sometimes, as you know, we get just a little bit extra interest depending on how many days it takes to pay. The life insurance companies all have a different amount. But starting with the day they get the claim, they pay interest until they write that check. Hmm. So that helps also. We got, I think, 4,000 on that last one divided between the people. So a life settlement is great. The returns are great. You must be accredited to do it. You can't do it if you're not accredited. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house. And that's a government regulation. It's not my regulation. So they want to be sure you're sophisticated, that you have money. They don't want somebody poor doing a life settlement, you know, because they couldn't stand it if it went over. So sometimes they do go over. Our older ones, some of those went over. And now we've got it fixed where they're not going over because we've changed the way we do it. We've got North Star watching all the policies. They're the one that watch them for us. They tell us when somebody's died, and they've got it now where they send a claim in as soon as they know they've died without the death certificate, where it's quicker. When we get the death certificate, they'll pay off right away. So that's a good thing. We've done that to help. But they pay usually 1% a month or greater.
Hmm.
And lots of times, most of the time, we pay a lot more than that. So the average is about 24% on a life settlement.
When you said a couple minutes ago that the last one you had, what was it, $4,000 in extra interest because
yes.
they didn't send it out right away? I'm like, yeah, I'd easily wait for a couple of days or whatever it is for my share of an extra $4,000. I just
yeah, and that happens all the time. And sometimes it's only, you know, like $800, $600, but lots of times it's several thousand dollars because it took them several days. And especially if it's a large policy and they don't get it to us, you know, in the 3 or 4 days, usually they don't. It takes them usually 12 days, 15 days to get those checks to us. And the funny thing is they never airmail it. You know, it's amazing to me that they want to slow mail it
really?
when it comes to paying. Yeah, they just send it slow mail. Then it gets to Nevada Trust, and we send them over a statement. This is how much goes in each account. We tell them how much is owed, and they put it in everybody's account. And the check always goes to Nevada Trust, does not go to us. That's another safety feature. The checks go to the trustee. The trustee is our safety net. Everybody should have a safety net, let me tell you. And we love Nevada Trust because if somebody's going to transfer money, they call and check on it. And we found that to be very dadgum valuable.
Yeah, I was just fixing to say, you know, it's you don't run into a lot of situations. You know, I deal with it every day. You know, like I'll have clients that'll, you know, have somebody that'll send me something, they'll transfer this or move this or add somebody to this account or whatever. And I always pick up the phone and I call the person themselves and I'll say, hey, is this authorized? Do you know about this? And it's always like either, you know, yes or No, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Don't let them in. So I had to have that kind of a safety check. It's really, really important. It's more important than people, I guess, realize, especially when we're talking about people's money. You know, you want to have as many safety checks and precautions in place as possible. And so just to have that verification, human verification, like a real person, not just press one if this is okay or press two to deny.
That's the big, big companies that don't want to talk to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a situation where someone had gotten our email and they changed it just a little bit and sent it to our clients. And a client called and said, well, we think we got this email. We said, no, it's not from us. Don't open it.
Oh,
and
geez.
So always check your emails. Make sure the spelling is correct. Make sure it's from us. Make sure it's not somebody that's changed it just a little bit or something like that. So the security is important on every account.
Yeah. I just had to take my annual cybersecurity course the other day, and they were saying that that's one of the things that people do is they'll switch something really small and flip it around to make it look still legitimate, but it's such a tiny change that your brain doesn't realize that. So,
yeah, your brain doesn't pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that you've got people there, I mean, you're always accessible to anybody that calls anytime. I mean, I don't want to say day or night, because don't call Faye at 4 a.m.
That's right.
You're there to take their calls. You know, you're there to talk to them. You're an actual real person available during business hours. You can talk to anybody about anything. If anybody has any questions, thoughts, like you said, the person that called you and said, hey, I think we got this, but I'm not really sure. You know, it's nice to know that you're there and people don't have to spend 25 minutes going through some kind of a phone tree. Press one, press two, press five, you know, give us your birthday and all these things that have to happen. People can call and then and talk to you. You're accessible. And then all the security measures at Nevada Trust, it's rare to find that kind of thing.
But you need it nowadays because cyber people are after us every day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we read every day about them hacking accounts, about them, all these companies that they're changing the email just a little bit to get into your account. So security has become a big thing. I never thought I would live long enough to see security need to be tightened and tightened and tightened.
Yeah.
So we all need to do that every day. Check those emails and make sure it's from us. Or if it's from somebody you know, make sure it really is. And when they say, we think we'd like for you to do this. No, I don't think so. You know?
Yeah. Call you. And it's nice that you've got many, many layers of security in place. I won't go into all the details because obviously we don't want to give that away. But you do have several layers of security in place.
And we're adding more. Adding more right now, too.
Yeah.
We're adding a couple, three more layers, which makes it a little harder. But we need it, and we need the extra security.
Yeah.
For ourselves and our clients.
Yeah.
So life settlements are a great investment. We've paid out over $200 million in the time we've been in business. I don't know how much we paid out this year, but I know it's quite a few million because we paid out $3 or $4 million this month.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big
month. It was a big month. And we've got new policies in we're looking at. One of them is 20 months, one's about 28 months. I think they'll be a great investment. I'm going to recommend them. And sometimes people have their own thoughts about, you know, what they want, what kind of a policy, whether, you know, if it's colon cancer, if it's breast cancer, if it's stomach cancer. You know, they have ones that they've made money on, and that's the ones they like. And some of them just like the profit angle and the short term.
Yeah.
And lots of times if it's a 20-month policy, it may pay 28 or 30%.
Yeah.
But most of them will pay a lot more than the 1% a month.
Yeah. So it's the profit. Is it fair to say that the profits maybe are more aggressive with a life settlement, but the consistency is just kind of, you know, it's not, you can't put it on a calendar like you can with an annuity.
No, you cannot put it on the calendar because you don't ever know for sure if the cancer is going to get them on time, if it's going to go over, or if it's going to be early. You don't know. And we read and read and read about, you know, they've had it for several years, and this is the second go around. Lots of times it went into remission, but it's come back. If it's come back after remission, it's going to get them.
Yeah.
The second time, it will get them. The first time, it might not. But this second one, when it's aggressive, I read it. If it's aggressive, I'm going to recommend it.
Yeah. And you're always looking at policies. And you, not only do you talk the talk, but sometimes you walk the walk. If there's availability.
I am in a lot of policies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in one that I wish I didn't have as big an investment as I've got in it. But there's probably some other people wish the same thing. We've got a lot of money in that one policy.
It happens sometimes.
It happens. But the others have done well. As you know, I've got several clients that have done extremely, extremely well.
Yeah.
And their interest is fantastic. And I won't even say how much it is, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's the more policies that people are in, the higher their portfolio profit, wealth.
And some of them, every policy, they're in it.
Yeah.
I mean, this last month, this one person was in five policies.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
they had a lot of money coming back.
Yeah.
And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. You say that all the time. Diversifying your portfolio is key. And so, I mean, you have the numbers to back that up, and so do some investors who have made a lot of money by being in a lot of policies. So,
well, let me put it this way. I've got people that have got like $1 million. And this week they brought another $500,000. So that tells you how much they like it.
Yeah.
They said, here's another $500,000 invested. So I know they've made a lot of money, or they wouldn't be putting another $500,000 with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not
I'm impressed.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah. And they didn't say a word. They just brought it over and said, here's another $500,000.
And you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. I said, okay, let's get it invested for you.
Yeah.
So lots of times people are very calm about that. You know, yes. They'll bring $300,000, $500,000 or something. They don't say a lot.
Yeah.
They just say, here, put it in the account.
Here you go. And those are the ones that have been through it before, have made tons of money. They've seen the results firsthand, and they know how the policies and the LEs have progressed and gotten better and better over the years. And so, I mean, that just speaks for itself, you know.
So, it does.
You know, the facts is what the facts is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
I thought about this. You know, we're all a modern world, and we do Christmas different. I went back to the 1900s.
Ooh.
And said, what was Christmas like in the 1900s?
Oh.
Well, first of all, they rode horses to the neighbors or wherever they were going, usually on Christmas Eve for the service. A lot of them didn't have cars. The ones that did, you know, some of them were pretty rickety, you know, and so sometimes they didn't ride in the cars, sometimes they did. Then I said to myself, what did they do? The first thing they used to do in the 1900s, they had church services. That was a big thing. And they had midnight Christmas Eve services.
Ooh.
And then you think about it, how'd they decorate? They used evergreen trees, holly, and mistletoe. And then they had those dadgum candles on the trees. And you remember how dangerous that was back in the 1900s. Sometimes they burned everything down with the candles. But they tried to put these deals around the candles, and they would not burn the candles till Christmas Eve, where hopefully they wouldn't burn down the house.
Yeah, because
that was a big deal. And then they had lanterns. That was another thing they had. You know, you saw lanterns everywhere, and they would use those to light and also to warm the festivities. And then you talk about gifts in 1900. Everything was handmade. The scarves were handmade. The children's quilts were handmade. And then they would do caroling and things like that. And then they used a big fireplace to cook everything. Can you imagine? I can just see them cooking all the food on this fireplace for Christmas dinner. And they were having wild fowl. You know, they were having wild turkey. They were having pheasant, which to back then that wasn't a delicacy.
Yeah.
It was just a wild bird that they used for Christmas. And they stuffed them with different things, all kinds of fruit, things like that. And then you talk about the toys. The toys were all handmade. They'd make a whistle for the little boys. They'd make dolls for the girls. Sometimes they had straw in them. And they had button eyes. And, they used corn silk for the hair. It was just a magical time that people never forgot where they started back in the 1900s.
Yeah.
And we've come a long way, you know, when we think about all this. And they traveled long distances to see their family at Christmas. And, of course, meals were a big part. Everybody liked to eat, you know?
I was waiting for you to get to the food.
Yeah, I mean, they did sledding if they had snow. They had snowball fights. They had all these games, activities. And back then, the adults played with the children. You know, I've seen lots and lots of pictures of them playing with kids. And nowadays, you don't see many adults playing with the kids at Christmas, do you?
No, you really don't.
No, it's too sophisticated. And I can remember as a girl, my father took us. We went out and cut the Christmas trees. You know, they were all cedar. And we cut a big Christmas tree, brought it home in the pickup.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. And my grandchildren don't remember real trees, and I don't know why. they know about artificial trees. They know about the pretty lights on the tree. You know, they know about the trains under the trees.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. And they don't know about carved dolls.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
They don't know about all these things. You know, they carved everything. You know, they made them chairs. They made them little tables, you know. The fathers could carve almost anything back then. And sometimes they got a horse for Christmas. They got things that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
And a lot of times I think they were better off. Now, I know that life in the 1900s, that was rough. That was really a rough time to...
It was a rough time.
But, boy, it's like... to them, I guess they didn't know any different. But now, you know, we have all of our machines and our electronics and our devices and our things that do things for us and our high tech stuff. It just seems so nice and more. What's the word I'm looking for? More.
I don't know. It was a simple time, but you know, people remember this. I did a lot of reading about this. And people came from the 40s, the 50s. They came from 1900s. They had pictures. I love all the pictures I've seen this week of people with their children having their picture made. And the little girls would have on little ruffled dresses they'd made. Mm. I mean, all kinds of neat things. And they were proud of those photographs. And the women were dressed up. The men had on a suit, you know. I mean, they were handmade.
Yeah.
And then you come to the 50s, and I'll never forget the movie where the little boy got the Ryder gun.
Oh, yes.
You know,
you'll
you don't remember that? That's right. A BB gun. You know, and kids used to get things like that. They used to get big wagons and pull them down the hill, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And if there's any snow at all, you'd ride down the bottom of the hill. You know, all kinds of neat things. But we've come a long way, and I'm not sure it's the greatest because it was simple. People knew their neighbors. The neighbors knew your children. I mean, they could play out in the yard. It was a safe time. And then we had the cars. You know, you take the cars of the 40s and the 50s as times were changing. General Motors, Pontiac, all these were making cars that were, you know, so new to people. They were impressed by how much the cars had changed. And Mr. Ford and Mr. Dodge, you know, started out, were building cars. and just kept getting better and better at this, you know. And people sometimes, you know, they would get a new car at Christmas and they'd be so proud of it. It might be, a small coupe, or it might be a bigger car. And it's amazing. You know, they would get gloves, they would get warm hats, you know. And now look where we are now.
Yeah.
We're into Nintendo. We're into trampolines. I mean, we have come a long way, honey.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say to me.
I tell you, give somebody nowadays something that's handmade, I don't know if they would know what to do with it, but, you know.
No, I don't think they would. If they got a shawl that was handmade, they probably would be in shock.
Yeah.
If they got a scarf that was handmade, you know?
Yeah. And those things are special. I mean, back then in the early, like the early 1900s, that's the only option they had. And people got like one or two gifts. It wasn't like, you know, miles of Christmas presents lined up. They got one or two things. It was handmade. It was more simpler. It seemed like it meant more. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. It seemed more special,
It had to be, because it's all they had. I mean, you looked all year for that one little gift that your father had made, you know. If it was a doll, they carved it out. Whatever it was, for the boys, you know, they carved out things for them. And eventually, you know, they made guitars, they made things for their children. And it was an earlier time, and it was a simpler time. And I think people loved each other a lot more, you know?
I think you're right.
And they all had a dog. They all had a doggy.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw any pictures without the dog.
Yeah.
You know, the dog was always in the pictures. And I've seen all these photographs from the 1900s to current on all these Texas deals. And it's amazing the way they dressed. But even in back years, the people were proud of their clothing. I mean, it was something else. And they looked like they were just proud as they could be that they had this outfit on.
Yeah. And when they had their pictures made back then, it was an event. It wasn't just somebody whipped out a camera and snapped a picture with somebody, you know, off guard, you know, stuffing something in their mouth. It was like you went, you got dressed up, you got a haircut, a shave, you got on your finest outfit, and it was an event to have your photo made. And now we take photos, you know, without even thinking about it.
Well, and some of the children back then, they had a little cowboy outfits on. Do you remember that?
Yes.
When you got the cowboy outfit, everybody wanted a Roy Rogers or Gene Autry outfit.
Yeah.
Now, that's in the 50s. And then they got the little cars that you pedaled. Remember that?
Oh,
they
yeah.
They had little cars that you pedaled with your feet. And that was a big deal. And coming of age, you know, coming up, making the changes, and to start with, you know, kids didn't go to college. They did good to finish high school. Then colleges came along. More people were sending their children. They would sell enough cattle to send their kids to college. Did you know that?
Yeah, it was a very different time back then.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And you've got our old colleges here. And they say that El Paso High School is one of the prettiest high schools in the nation. Did you know that?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. El Paso, supposedly, and I saw a picture of it, is one of the nicest high schools ever built.
Wow. Now, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. And, you know, everything Texas has is bigger and better.
Yeah.
There's any doubt about that.
No.
But the things, our architecture, the things kids have learned to build, you know, is just astonishing. And, We have some of the best colleges, I think, in the world.
Yeah, we really do. And you know how much I love Texas architecture.
Yes.
It's some of my favorite.
And Texas A&M, you know, way back there started in. So, you know, they have a long, long history of teaching kids and people that have really become something. And then you've got University of Texas, you know, there's a great school, and then Baylor. I mean, these are outstanding colleges that have been there a long, long time. And kids have, you know, they're doctors now, they're lawyers, they're engineers, they're scientists. And years ago, they couldn't have become that.
Yeah.
You know, in the 1800s, people just were getting by, and the colleges were just starting. in the 1900s, you know, a lot of them became famous for being the Texas colleges in the 1900s.
Yeah, they really have. We have come a long way. And but boy, the state as a whole has made, I mean, we've made a name for ourselves, I would say, as a leader in, you know, not only colleges, but really kind of, I guess I want to say everything, really, because, you know, it seems like so many things were started here and then carried to other states. Or, you know, like you say all the time, you know, there's somebody famous from here that went on to do, you know, big things and inspired other people and things like that. So I would almost say that we're like the originators of probably a lot more of the American culture than probably what we're given credit for.
And we forget that, and I say it all the time, all these boys that went to Enos became famous. I mean, Enos, Texas had something in their high school. I don't know if it was the English teacher, the band leader, I don't know who it was, but they became famous. Then you've got Snyder, Texas, where they all became actors.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, they really taught in our schools. I mean, kids were really getting the grasp of it, and they became famous.
Yeah.
And then we had other schools. They became lawyers, politicians, governors, you know. So Texas has educated their kids. They've done marvelous things. And then we've got the other people are just famous for being famous.
Yeah. Which is a whole nother class of people.
That's another class of people, let me tell you.
Wow. Oh, my. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Before we wrap up, I know you touched briefly on accreditation for life settlements. Run through that one more time. What does that mean?
Okay, let me tell you again. You must be accredited to do life settlements. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must have $1 million without your house. And that can be stocks and bonds, horses, things of value, okay? But you cannot do this unless you're accredited.
And so, there are two risks that people need to know about going in.
The biggest risk is the premium could go over. You need to know if there's no premium involved, if there's just a small premium for 20 years, you need to ask us up front. We need to tell you up front. And then the second thing is, remember, it is not liquid till it matures.
Okay.
And I think everybody knows that, but I tell you that anyway.
So Christmas is on Thursday. So what is, how are you open this coming week? Are you?
Well, we're open I think till Christmas Eve.
Okay.
But then we will be closed until after the 1st. Okay. You know, we do that every year. We open on the 2nd.
Yeah. I just wanted to make people aware that, you know, we're getting down to the last couple of days. So you will be there Monday, Tuesday, and at least some of Wednesday. So anybody who's interested in, you know, like we were talking about with annuities, if you're interested in taking care of something like that, getting over to a conservative investment before year's end, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is the day. So, you know, no more procrastination, but they do need to call, make an appointment, come talk to you. So one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Everybody should go to the website. Check it out.